give you a brief update on where things stand in terms of COVID-19 and our vaccination program in Pennsylvania, and then really give you the opportunity to ask some questions. We have obviously gotten a ton of media requests into our tracker. We know that you're all asking similar questions, and so we wanted to try to give you the opportunity to work through that process. So I'm going to go through very quickly some numbers. These numbers are in our daily press release and will be provided to you. If you're not muted, please make sure that you do so. Okay, Matt, I just muted you. All of our call-in users, please make sure that your line is muted as well. Sounds good. All right. And again, I'll go through this data. This data is available, and you'll have it afterwards as well. As of midnight, January 29th, there were 9,643 additional positive cases of COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. That brings our statewide total to 834,048. That case count today does include backlogged antigen testing data from urgent care centers. That accounts for 4,052 of those newly identified cases that had their specimens collected over a week ago. We will continue to report on that backlog data over the next couple of days, and so we will have that accounted for. There are currently 3,691 individuals hospitalized with COVID-19. Of that number, 753 are patients in the intensive care unit. And for our 14-day moving average, we know that that's increased by nearly 3,800 since the end of September. The good news is that number is declining, but it is still above where we were for our spring peak. So let's get to the vaccination data. We have had, there are a lot of numbers nationally and within Pennsylvania that have been, touted and put around, and we wanted to try to be able to help you break that down into a way that not only helps you compare apples to apples, but then also helps you with some of the analysis that you're going to do. Through January 30th, Pennsylvania has been allocated 1.8 million doses of vaccine. About 1.3 million of those doses have been received throughout the Commonwealth. Now, here's where that breaks down. We've had 930,150 first doses allocated to Pennsylvania. That's for people to get their first shot. We've had 884,700 second doses allocated to Pennsylvania. That's for people to get their second shot. Of our first doses, 700 administered to people to date. Of our second doses, 173,328 have been administered to date. Nationally, Pennsylvania ranks about fifth for the first doses administered and in the top 10 for the second doses administered. This is very important because we're working to secure your second dose of vaccine and make sure that you can get it. The federal government is reporting, and other sources are reporting, that total number. But that total number isn't that whole picture, right? Because for every one person, it takes two doses of vaccine. So I wanted to be able to go through some of those key parts for you to help you understand what that big picture looks like and what the smaller picture looks like. Now, the federal government has told us that the Biden administration is increasing our allotment beginning next week. We anticipate being able to get 160,000 first doses of vaccine for Pennsylvania to be split up among our federal pharmacy partnership, the hospital initiative, and then the retail pharmacy partnership. However, to put it into perspective, vaccine providers, we have more than 1,000 of them across the Commonwealth, have actually requested about 700,000 doses of vaccine. And so we know that we can't possibly meet that demand. That's where the allocation strategy comes into play. So in order for, you know, to help you with that allocation strategy, I wanted to give you a little bit of background on that. What we do is we are obviously talking to those healthcare facilities, to everyone who's administering the vaccine and how much they would like to get. Then we look at their current allocations, the amounts they have in storage, and the amounts they've administered in order to confirm that they're going to get another allotment. We also use a formula looking at the population 65 and over, the percent positivity, and then the death rate with other factors as a throughput as well as the inventory on hand to determine how to allocate those limited doses among vaccine providers. From there, the federal government says this is how much you're going to get, and they ship it directly to those vaccine providers. So Pennsylvania isn't accepting vaccine and distributing it. It is going directly to those vaccine providers. So I know that I've run through a lot. I've also tried to hit most of your frequently asked questions so that I can open it up to you to ask as many questions as possible. So if you would like to raise your hand on the WebEx, I will go ahead and call on you, and we will try to get to as many of your questions as possible. Okay, Nicole, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. And thanks, April, for going over the allocation process. I appreciate that. Is there any thing that the Department of Health is doing to ensure that these pharmacy partnerships and hospitals and what have you are abiding by the stage of phase that we're in? Because there's an intermediate education group here in Lancaster County that is did a contract directly with the pharmacy for them to basically save vaccines so they can be vaccinated on Saturday. But I understand that educators are in phase 1B, correct?
That is correct, that educators are in 1B. What we have asked all of our vaccine providers, they've all signed an agreement saying that they would follow our protocols. And so it is important that we do adhere to this, our vaccine plan. That plan was developed to be equitable, ethical, and efficient in the delivery of the vaccine.
One more question, if I can have a follow-up, please. This is on behalf of my colleague who's also on the line. Let us know when you will be getting a breakdown about the vaccine administrations by county?
So on our website, we do have the vaccine administrations by county on our dashboard. That's based on where the individual lives. So we are looking at the people who have been vaccinated and where they live. I'm going to go ahead to Grace Griffinton. Grace, go ahead.
Hi, thank you guys for taking the time to explain all of this. I had a question related specifically to allocation. We noticed that the Lehigh Valley Health Network had received a large allocation of doses, and we just wanted to clarify, because we had people in Lancaster County asking why they had received so much. And can you guys provide any context on that?
So we are also looking within the allocation as the areas that they serve. When you look at that network, health network in particular, it does serve Lehigh County, Luzerne County, Monroe County, Schuylkill County, and many of the rural areas. They're using what we call a hub and spoke model. So they are getting the vaccine at a hub, and then they're having clinics in the spokes. They let us know where those clinics are, and we're making sure that the vaccine is getting to the clinics where they're supposed to be. But there is a central point of where it comes in.
Gotcha. So even though Lancaster County has a higher population, those seven counties which Lehigh Valley Network serves likely have a greater population when you combined it all.
And you're also looking again at that hub and spokes model, because part of this again is equity and making sure that it is getting to rural communities. It is getting to areas where there are essentially medical and healthcare deserts. So we want to make sure that it is that those areas also are getting served.
Thank you.
Next up, David Wenner. Go ahead, David.
Can you hear me, April?
I can.
Okay, thank you. April, could you shed some more light on the statements you made earlier, like where you said, like we're Pennsylvania's in I think you said fifth place for first doses and 10th place for second doses, because you know, I look at those, the federal data pretty regularly, although not today. And those numbers, by the way, like their numbers are often seemingly more up to date than the numbers that the health department often offers us in the briefings. But you're probably aware that you can like look at it in terms of, say, first doses administered per 100,000 people. That's where I think a lot of people have come to the conclusion that we're in the middle of the pack. As Governor Wolf has said, So how do you go ahead?
Okay, I'm working to get to you on that one. I am sharing my screen right now for all of those that are online of where I got those statistics from. This is from the CDC COVID tracker. When you look at the people with first doses, here's where Pennsylvania lies, okay? And when you sort based on second doses, here is where Pennsylvania lies.
So is now, that the total doses, number? Go ahead.
So those are total number of first doses and total number of second doses vaccinated, not total administered doses. Remember, we have to look at this as in doing an apples-to-apples comparison. We want to make sure that we are looking at the total doses that are for people who've gotten their first dose, because those are new people who have gotten vaccinated, and then people who are fully vaccinated, those who have gotten their second doses. The rate per 100,000 is a little bit tricky, and we've looked at some of the technical notes from the CDC on how they're figuring out the rate per 100,000. Included in their rate per 100,000 are individuals who are not able to be vaccinated. That would include children 16 and under. And so that's why we're also looking for an apples-to-apples comparison of looking at first doses and second doses.
Okay, April, but I would just say, though, I mean, it looks like you're looking at the total doses, and Pennsylvania being the most popular, having one of the highest populations, it seems like we're kind of like bound to be up pretty high on that, right? Because of our population.
No, I think, David, we're looking at the number of first doses administered versus the number of second doses administered. In terms of the ranking, that's where I was getting that information from. It's very difficult to compare one state to another because every state is doing this differently. There are some states that are using all of their second doses now instead of ensuring that there will be a second dose. There are some states that are just hoping that that second dose will come. What we look at the second dose is like an antibiotic, to put it into simpler terms. If I've got a sinus infection and my doctor prescribes amoxicillin for me and says, take the amoxicillin for 10 days, and after the fifth day I feel better and I stop taking the amoxicillin, then I think, you know, and then I get my next sinus infection the next week, then, you know, there it is really at that point, I've created a situation where I need a stronger medication and you know, I might have a vaccine develop an immunity to that to the antibiotic. The same thing is with in terms of this vaccination. We know that there are new strains of this virus that are mutations from this virus that are happening. And in order to ensure that if someone gets their first dose, that if they do contract one of these strains, that they don't get just as sick, we need to make sure they have their second dose. And so that is a process where we are making sure that Pennsylvanians are able to get their second dose. David, I'll let you go ahead and ask one more, and then I've got several hands up, so then I need to keep moving.
You can move on, April. I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. All right, David Hamburg, go ahead.
Hi, I have a question about vaccine doses that are not being administered. Is the state keeping track of, I know I talked with a pharmacist recently, who was excited that he didn't have to waste any doses on a particular day. Do you have records of, you know, how much is being wasted? And you know, is there a system in place to have a waiting list for somebody to call in? Or is that up to the individual provider?
So you're asking about vaccine. We've had very little evidence of, very few reports of vaccine waste. And that's one of the things that we've talked about is that if there is vaccine that has been thawed and ready to go and there isn't a person for it, that we want it to go into a person. So vaccine providers have been really quite efficient in that. So, you know, I think that that's definitely key and part of all of this. I'm not sure in terms of, you know, so again, we've had very little waste on the vaccine itself. We are getting vaccine into as many arms as possible. And if vaccine has been thawed, we want it to be used. Okay. Eric Chitano. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, thanks, April. We've had two providers in our area, Geisinger and Evangelical Hospital, stop taking appointments temporarily for first-time vaccine recipients. Is this something that you're hearing statewide, and is the department providing any guidance on this?
So we know that there is a limited amount of vaccine that these hospitals can get, and we also know that we aren't guaranteed our allotment more than a week or two ahead of time. That in itself creates a long-term planning challenge for any of these health systems or any vaccine provider, because they could be scheduling appointments and not know that they have vaccine for it. So that the fact that they paused is not necessarily surprising. It is indicative of the fact that we have a bigger supply or bigger demand than we have supply.
Hey, April, a quick follow-up to that. Can you clarify what you had said earlier in your opening statements concerning second dose allocation with respect to weekly shipments?
Sure. What do you need me to clarify?
I wasn't quite sure what what we were saying. I think you had said the 140 some that we have been receiving on average were for first dose specifically, and I wasn't sure where the second dose came into play.
So we are receiving shipments, say I'm going to use smaller numbers, but say week one we got 10, week two we got 10, week three we got 10, and week one we vaccinated 10 people, let's say we're using the Moderna, and week four we got 10. In week four, we also need an additional 10 for those people in week one to get their second dose. So we have first doses coming in. That's the number you hear us talking most about, because those are new people to get vaccinated. But there are also second doses for those individuals to come in. Federal government's reporting all of the doses that we've received in one big pot. And what we're trying to explain is that that pot's actually pretty much divided in two, and you can't use that whole pot that you're being given. We know that one part can go for new people to get vaccinated, and one part goes for the people who have gotten their first dose to get their second dose.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Kim Strong. Kim, go ahead.
Hi, April. Thanks so much for helping us with this. A couple quick questions. Mass vaccines, these mass vaccination centers, are you helping, is the Department of Health helping in any way to make that happen? And, you know, does it help these hospitals, these large facilities, to work together to make some of those mass vaccination sites occur?
So actually, the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency is working on community vaccination clinics. Part of that, and a significant part of that, depends on our allocation of vaccine. There is, and we'll email out to you, you know, to give you an idea for this entire audience in terms of the breakdown of where vaccine's going. But to give you an idea of the Pfizer vaccine, which we're using for the long-term care mission through the Federal Pharmacy Partnership, 64% of that is going to the Federal Pharmacy Partnership. So, you know, you can divide a pie up so many ways, but it's still one whole pie. And so that's what we're working through in terms of being able to get to the point of community vaccination clinics. It takes a significant time to actually plan and mobilize those. But at the same time, we have to know that we have not only vaccine for the first shot, but vaccine for the second shot.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Arubi. Arubi, go ahead.
Thank you, April. I just wanted to follow up on Nicole's second question from earlier. Will data be made available that shows exactly how much of the vaccines that have doses that have been allocated to each county have been administered by that county?
So we're looking at it on a statewide basis versus on a county by county basis. I don't know that I am able to produce that level of granular detail, but I'll add it to the list of things that, you know, you all are interested in and see what we can do.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had trouble at the beginning of the meeting getting in. So I apologize for that, but does the reserving of the second doses account for the amount of doses not administered in Pennsylvania being larger than it is in some other states?
So that, and that is very key. The federal government is reporting the total amount of doses that have been allotted for the Commonwealth. They are not, and that's why we felt the need to break it down so that people could get a better idea. So we have been allotted 1.8 million doses through January 30th. Of the 1.8 million, 930,150 are for the first doses, and 884,700 are for the second doses. When we break that down a little bit further, looking at what's been administered, 719,928 of the first doses have been administered, and 173,328 of the second doses have been administered. So we wanted to be able to put that into perspective. So if you're looking at where the delta is, essentially, as my data folks like to call it, we're looking at within the second doses. That is for the, and those are people that we may have gotten it in advance of them needing to come in and get it. That's why we really try to focus on those first doses, because that's what's driving our clinics. That's what's driving the ability to be able to get vaccinated at a pharmacy or at a hospital, is that first dose of vaccine. We're guaranteeing that you're going to get that second dose. But we, for right now, have so many of the first doses to be able to administer.
Okay. And if I could have a follow-up question. A couple times this week, Governor Wolf said about being willing to consider a centralized registration as opposed to the centralized method being used now. Is that something that you're actually working on as a true possibility?
We're looking at developing a tool, and it's in the works now, for people to be notified as to when it's their turn to get vaccinated. One of the common threads between states that have a centralized registration system and a decentralized registration system, the same thing, is that there isn't enough vaccine. And so you may have people in some states who are able to make an appointment, but those appointments are for June. And you may have people in other states who are trying to get up an appointment each day and not able to do that. At the end of the day, the common denominator is there's just not enough vaccine. We're starting to run short on time, so I want to go ahead and move on to Ron Southwick. Ron, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I had a little trouble muting there, so sorry about that. And thanks for doing this. I just wanted to ask something that Secretary Beam had mentioned earlier this week when she talked about the long-term strategy, really focusing on long-term care facility staff and residents, because there's still a number of them that have to get focused. Since there's such a limited supply of vaccine that the state is struggling with, has there been any discussions within the department, within the Wolf administration, about maybe focusing for the next few weeks on just getting shots in all the arms and the long-term care facility staff, since they're the bulk of the people who've died and the most vulnerable residents? Is there any thought of just shifting to those resident staff right now while the supply is so limited?
The long-term care mission actually is under the jurisdiction of the Federal Pharmacy Partnership. So we set aside an allocation. We say, here's partnership, here's so many vaccine, and you're going to go ahead and administer that vaccine. When we look at where they're at right now, and they're estimating that they would be completed with the Federal Pharmacy Partnership end of February, beginning of March, they are reporting to us that CVS has administered 141,040 total doses of vaccine. That is 82,118 people who have residents and staff who got their first dose, and 29,461 that got two doses. Walgreens is saying that it has administered 20,654 total doses, that 16,669 are partially covered individuals, which means they have one dose, and about 2,000 are fully covered, which means they've got two doses. So that Federal Pharmacy Partnership, again, estimates on when it's going to be done. We have the Pfizer vaccine dedicated to that mission because of the specific storage requirements for that mission, for that vaccine. CVS and Walgreens are able to help that and manage that cold chain storage. But their data for us is about 72 hours behind. And so we are very much reliant on the information that they provide us.
Okay. So, but is there any ability of the state to help supplement that federal effort? I mean, I know the federal is directing it through CVS and Walgreens, as you said, but since that's such a high priority and there's the most frail, I mean, is there any ability to use other supply or the more of the existing state stock to get the rest of the folks so you can get those most vulnerable people vaccinated?
Those clinics, and this is the reason why we've chose the Federal Pharmacy Partnership, is because they are taking the vaccine to those locations, and that is what's key. And so to be able to move, I don't know that it is physically possible for them to move faster, Rite Aid, we have signed on, DHS has signed an agreement with Rite Aid to vaccinate long-term care facilities that didn't qualify for the Federal Pharmacy Partnership, and they're doing the same thing. So we do actually have vaccine out of our larger allotment that is going for more long-term care facilities that, again, weren't accepted in the Federal Pharmacy Partnership. Okay. All right, that brings us to 2 o'clock, which is the time I promised to have you all out of here. We will look to do these again and more often. We want to make sure that we can provide you as much information as possible, and we know that everybody is emailing in to our comms team to try to get as many questions as possible. So we really appreciate all of your help and partnership in getting the word out to Pennsylvanians, and we're always happy to answer your questions. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.